This week on Phone a Friend, my Joe Fresh collection is out and I can't stop crying. A formal apology to Taylor Swift. Blue Ivy Carter is playing the Nepo baby. Sorry, the Lion baby in the new Lion King. And do you want to smell like fried chicken? Now you can. It's a finger-licking good episode and it starts now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Girl, let's phone a friend with Jesse Cruikshank.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Phone a Friend. Today is the day. My capsule collection for Joe Fresh is out now in select stores and online. I'm recording this live from Toronto, where I've been all week for the big launch. With me, I'm sure, wearing his Joe Fresh Jesse collab men's shirt, and I assume very short shorts, it's Jason, my producer.
Hi. Yeah, hi. I actually just got mine in the mail from you.
I'm so
glad. The free samples, yeah.
Yeah, the free samples is what we call them in the fashion biz. The free samples.
I'm being sarcastic, but I will purchase to support for sure.
It will look so cute on you. The men's shirt is like someone just posted a picture of their hot tattooed husband in my men's shirt, and I was horny for the first time, not for a man, but for the garment he was wearing. Okay?
Yeah.
It made me feel aroused.
I like them.
Thank
As someone
you.
Who only wears black t-shirts, I will be picking it up. So that
okay,
says
great.
Something.
It will push you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I just like, I feel so, Jason, like if I see you in that shirt, I will start to cry. It has all been so thrilling for me. Like, I mean, we talked a little bit last week. I started designing this collab and I mean, every inch of the pieces in the capsule collection, from the specific colors of the checkerboard print to the size of the checkers to the slit in the women's shirt and the width of the girl's dress, like every detail I worked on. And I just honestly made a collection I wanted to wear and I wanted my kids to wear all summer long. And so I'm just so excited and emoshy that it's finally out, you know? Like what we do is we make shows and we make, you know, whatever content, and we don't necessarily get to see anyone like watching it or listening to it. So I don't know what it is, but for me to see people wearing something I love and I made and feeling so good in it and looking so cute in it, it's truly like been making me cry. I'm telling you, the same woman with the hot husband, she posted a picture of her baby in the romper I designed and I started weeping like it was her baby in my baby. So when you get the pieces, phonies, please tag me so I can share and probably just like stare at your image and ugly cry. I don't know why it's really getting me in my feelings. We also just finished this huge launch event. So Jason, I wish you were here in Toronto. Joe Fresh rented a roller rink, like a full gigantic roller rink, rented it out, invited hundreds of people, decked it out with like checkerboard floors, giant pictures of my kids and my fam in the collection.
Cool.
Hundreds of people are wearing the outfits and roller skating around the rink to the playlist that I obviously DJed, which was like all mid-2000s jams.
Yeah.
Like, it was just unbelievable. So much fun. A true out-of-body experience. Also, I want to say, now that the official campaign has launched, you will see the photos of my family online and in storefronts at Joe Fresh and phonies. I can confirm to you and to you only, this was the pink eye photo shoot. The one I told you about where three or more of us may have had the remnants of pink eye during the shoot. So please don't tell anyone, including Joe Fresh. The last thing I want to say is obviously I love the men's shirt. I love all the pieces for kids, but the women's set is maybe the thing I love the most because I designed it to wear all summer long as like a cute set or as a poolside cover up. I just think it's so comfy and loose and the linen feels so easy and breezy. And I've been so excited for women to get it and to feel cool and sexy and fun and get compliments wearing it because I have been wearing this thing for a year and I get compliments everywhere I go. And then last week, my friend, who is very successful, works in the women's apparel business, saw the looks when it was announced, and she said, "Oof, women's shorts? That's ballsy." This was a text message. I was like, "Oh, what do you mean?" She said, "Oof, O-O-F, yeah." She said, "Women don't buy shorts." I said, what are you talking about? Why not? She said, women hate their legs. It's widely known in the fashion industry. The hardest thing to sell to women is shorts, which I found deeply upsetting, especially given our conversation a mere week ago, Jason, about you getting a 5-inch inseam on those legs.
Oh, yeah. I trusted you.
Right? And you went out and got them, right? You got a shorter short?
I actually went out and got them, yeah.
He did.
I love them.
He did.
I'm very happy.
As you should, because you know what? You should flaunt those legs. This is my message to you women. You should all flaunt your legs. Like, please, life is too short to be insecure about whatever is happening on the back of our legs. Do you know what I mean? And I will say this, I really, like, there are shorts that are unflattering. They, like, are too short. They are too tight in the wrong places. These shorts I designed to be like flat and flattering in the front, but then also loose and slouchy and linen so they don't cling. They're just like comfy and they kind of feel like when you wear your husband or your partner's boxer shorts, you know that feeling and you're like, I'm so sexy and petite in these big shorts. That's how these shorts feel. They're going to make you feel so good. And you know what? El Nino is real. Summer's going to be hot. You're getting too old to keep caring what other people think. Love your body. Love your legs. Wear the damn shorts.
What do you think about men in sandals? That's my next thing.
I love men in sandals.
I find it weird.
No.
I don't like it.
Jason,
yeah,
all
I think
sandals?
It's weird. Yeah.
A Birkenstock?
Yeah, it's weird to me.
A Teva?
But it is, you're right, it's so hot. I'm like, is this just easier to slip on?
Oh, Jason, you have never experienced the pure joy of wearing a sandal in the summertime?
No, I cannot remember the last time I owned a sandal. Maybe like when I was 6 and my mom bought me flip-flops. Maybe.
Jason, my producer as I live and breathe. You need to try a sandal. Is there something going on with your feet that we should know about?
No, I just find it like sandals on men, I just find weird.
No, I have since college had a soft spot for a man in a Birkenstock, like a crunchy brown leather Birkenstock. Bought a pair for my husband like 10 years ago and get, you know, aroused every time he slips them on. No, I love, there's so many great options for men. Like, I'm not super into a flip-flop on a man, but, you know, poolside, by all means. But Jay, you got to try a sandal.
Okay. Well, I'll keep you updated.
What are you going to wear with those short shorts? A running shoe? A sneaker? No.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I have like
no.
A running shoe. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, no, we're going to start you real easy with like the plastic Birkenstocks. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody has them. They're basically a shower shoe that we have somehow accepted in society as being okay to wear. They're unisex. Get them in like a green or a gray or a black, like something low key, and just try those out. It's like a cheap and cheerful entree into the male sandal world. Are you open to that?
Okay, maybe. I'll think about it. I have to see them. I don't know what you're referencing, so I need to look it up and I need to see.
Okay, so no problem. I'll send you a text. I'll send you lots of options. I'll send you a mood board, Jason, for your feet. Your feet need to be seen this summer. Speaking of things that need to be seen, I just want to sidebar for one moment because, Jason, as you know, when I was at LAX waiting for my flight to Toronto this week, I sent you a creepy photo with me at the airport Starbucks and icon, legend, fucking queen, Cindy Crawford in the background. Because we have a history of sending each other pictures of ourselves with celebrities creepily yes. in the background. You obviously instantly recognized her.
Yes. Yeah. Just leaning against, just hanging out at Starbucks or something, right?
Casually leaning against a wall, waiting for her drink to be called, wearing like a chic oversized denim with a, I'm sure like a $300 white t-shirt and a fabulous black blazer. Hair was blown out, no makeup, absolutely fucking stunning. She's waiting for her drink. And I was like, surely they're not going to call out Cindy. They say, Cindy, Jason at the Starbucks, Cindy.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I know. I couldn't breathe. And then I was like, maybe I should approach her. And then I just was too intimidated. Like I couldn't even look right at her. She was too beautiful. Like I could only look at her by zooming into the creepy photo I took. I didn't dare like look directly at her. I felt like it would be like staring into the solar eclipse. I would never see straight again. She shone that brightly. So I stared at her from afar and I thought like, look at us, just two models flying internationally to do some modeling, you know? And then as I'm getting off the plane, we're in Toronto, as if the universe was smiling upon me, me and Cindy are walking tandem with our suitcases out the door. And the whole time I'm like, I gotta ask for a picture. I can't, I don't know what to say. It's not like I can say like, you know, I love you in the show or I love you, your music. You would just have to go up to her and say like, you're an icon. You know, what do you say to Cindy Crawford?
Literally.
I didn't know how to strike up a convo. But we're walking side by side. The doors open. So now we're like out of the private airport area. We're into the public area. She puts her sunglasses on and suddenly 10 men surround her with giant magazines and photos of her asking for her autograph. And she kindly starts signing them. And I thought if she is signing Sports Illustrated covers for these creeps, surely she will take a picture with this creep. So I said, Cindy, could we get a picture? And she says, sure. And then we take the picture and I just look at her and I go, you're so beautiful. And she literally walks away as I'm mid-sentence. Like, international supermodel Cindy Crawford does not need the affirmations. She's good. And then after looking at the photograph that I took with Cindy Crawford, I needed the affirmations. I have never looked more hideous, Jason. She's like 20 years older than me. I stood next to her for 3.5 seconds. My self-esteem has been ruined for life. Thanks, Cindy. Sorry, I digress. My limited edition Joe Fresh capsule collection, which, hey, maybe that's what she came to Toronto for. She wanted to get her hands on the ladies' two-piece. You know what I mean? It's out now in stores and at joefresh.com. Every piece is under $35, so grab it all for your family because life is too short not to have a cute family matching moment and to hate your legs. Also your feet, Jason. And so, boy, oh boy, I really do mean it when I say, it's been a week.
It's been a week, yeah.
Okay, I promise we'll get to this segment, but first I had to send Jason a picture of some male sandals I'd like him to consider. Jay, did you get it?
I got this, yeah. I can't do it. Sorry.
No, what?
No, it's not for me. These are too... like cool for me. Like I people would be like, you look like you're trying too hard to wear sandals.
Okay, listen, when the icebergs are melted and it is 120 degrees this summer, I will check back in. Cause I guarantee you the sweat and lint between your toes is going to be less cute than your little feet in these sandals. Okay, I'm pulling up my list of stories here. The first one on our list for today says, Taylor Swift album update. We like it.
Taylor Swift album update. We like it.
Yes, I gotta say, it has been a tortured, almost poetic week as I have continued to listen to the Tortured Poets Department, and I like it more now. I like it more and more each time I listen to it. And Jason, who famously told me last week that it was, quote, not for him and he only listened to a few songs. Jason, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm on the exact same page. I have been listening to it nonstop. Every single time I listen to it, I find a new favorite song that I missed that I love. It's amazing. I cannot. It's all I've listened to for 2 weeks. I was wrong. I love all of it.
You were wrong about Taylor Swift, and I can't wait when you tell that to me on this podcast about sandals. Here's the thing about T-Swift. We were not the only ones who did this. There are music critics who initially wrote off the album as a flop and are now, a week later, retracting their first reviews and putting out new ones, admitting that they spoke too soon. The album is better than they thought, is what they're saying. So one writer from CNN put it best. He said, quote, after spending more time with the two-hour sonic feast, I'm ready to declare that it's one of Swift's best works yet. Swift's album demands time to be fully appreciated. It cannot be devoured at the speed of TikTok. I mean, so pretentious, but I'm still on my feet. I'm on my feet. Because that's what it is. I said this last week. We live in a time where you have to give your take instantly, right? We were all like power listening to this 2 hour album, trying to come up with a hard and fast opinion, when this is an album that really needs time to absorb, to like marinate in its juices, if you will. And so, of course, we end up sort of jumping to conclusions, probably based on our preconceived ideas of Taylor Swift, right? Like, if you're a diehard Swiftie, you were literally like dying over how genius it was without even listening to the entire thing. If you were like me and Jason, you were like, where's the hits? But we're here to apologize because, yes, having sat with it, having maybe it's like I've been listening to it in a more relaxed way now. You know what I mean? I'm not playing it being like, what do you think? What do you think? I'm playing it while I'm cooking. Yeah. I'm playing it while I'm driving. And it's really like seeping in an all new way. Like, God, there are hits and hooks and bops. They're just not Max Martin infused with like this sick beat. You know what I mean? It's a more subtle sick beat.
Do you know what my friend told me? Just because it's like, it really does depend where and how you listen to it. My friend was you know, on AirPods, how you can do like noise canceling or the transparent mode. My friend listened to it in transparent mode and he was like, oh, it's not really for me. But then a week later, he comes back and he's like, I'm obsessed with Tortured Poets Department. I listen to it with noise canceling headphones. And it's like the best thing I've ever heard. I'm like, that's all it took.
Why? Because it cancels the world out around you and you can just immerse yourself in Taylor's like black and white bed?
Truly, I think that's what it is.
I think also the more I can actually hear the lyrics and take in the words she's saying, the more I actually can't believe how open and honest she's being, considering she is the most famous person in the world. Like, when you become that famous, you have less things to draw upon. You are so much more guarded about what you share. But she's out here, and I know it's like partly a heightened version of herself and her stories, and it's somewhat of a character, but she's still out here like talking mad shit to this sick beat, you know?
Yeah.
Any new songs you're currently obsessed with?
I love The Alchemy. You know that one?
Well, I do. Here's what can I just say one thing about The Alchemy?
Yeah.
This is the Travis Kelce song, right? Which I've been desperate for. I mean, I want a whole album about football and like cheerleaders. Like, that's what I'm looking forward to. Listen to The Alchemy again. If you were to speed that up like 3 times, it would be a banger.
Yeah.
It would be like ready for the Sing 3 soundtrack.
I was thinking about that actually.
It's a little slow, but like it has the makings of a hit in there. Just notes for Taylor Swift. Should I DM her that or get in touch with her label?
I mean, yeah, I think the tempo's good, but it's like one of the more like the lighter, happier ones. I really enjoy that one.
Yes. Ugh. See, and here's the thing. Like, this album has broken all the records. Earlier this week, the top 14 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 were all songs from the Tortured Poets Department. It broke Spotify's record for most streamed album in a single week ever. And also the first album in Spotify history to hit 1 billion streams in less than a week. And at first I thought, like, is that just because it has so many songs? But I think most people like us are only listening to, like, the first 17 tracks. Am I wrong in saying that?
Oh, yeah. I'm, like, very the... It's, I'm very, very top-heavy listener. I'll say that.
Jason is very top-heavy. Me too. I mean, my whole life I've been top-heavy. But yes, certainly with the Torture Poets Department. I mean, it's like the first 12, 13, 16 songs for me.
Yeah.
And then I've actually, this is my hot tip, I've actually created my own Jesse's Tortured Poets Department playlist with like my 10 favorite tracks. So really like notes all around. Notes for Taylor, notes for the label, notes for Jack Antonoff. I've made my own version of your album and it's so fucking good. You know, because if you just tighten it up a little bit, you'll be less tortured, more poet.
I just want to also say that a couple weeks ago, I did mention that I do this every time with her. I don't get excited about stuff she puts out. And then about 2 weeks in, I joined the masses.
You did say that. You did say that. You did say that. And you know what I will say here on this podcast? Because as you know, it's a Justin Timberlake forward podcast here. It's a safe space for him here on Phone a Friend. I famously was sitting in the back of, I'm sure it was a taxi at the time. I do not think Uber existed. When I heard Sexy Back for the first time, it was like the new Justin Timberlake single on Z103, whatever. And I thought to myself, this is trash. This is the worst song I've ever heard. I was like, what is this techno? Like, he's ruining his career. I wanted nothing to do with it. And, you know, cut to Sexy Back is like one of the jams of the ages. So like, the good songs, I think, take time. And what I did there is I just compared Justin Timberlake's Sexy Back to Taylor Swift's The Tortured Poets Department. So, God, I don't know how this label is functioning without me. Thank you, Taylor, capital T-A-Y-L-O-R. See what I did there? The Swifties get it. What's next?
What's next? I don't get it. What is it?
Well, you know, the deep cut reference to the song Thank You, Amy, where capital K-I-M is capital. Yeah, so,
Got it.
Well, if you're a top heavy listener, some things are going to miss you because that was sort of a bottom heavy reference. You know what I mean? That was right from the rear of the album.
It's very back half.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I get it.
Let's move right along, Jason. This week, Disney dropped a teaser trailer for their prequel to The Lion King called Mufasa, The Lion King, starring Beyonce and Blue Ivy Carter with new music by Lin-Manuel Miranda. And obviously, my first reaction was, Did you want to go, Jace, for the next verse?
No, continue.
Okay, great. Well, that's about the extent of the Afrikaans that I know, but thank you so much. Jason, I don't know if you know this about me. The Lion King, if like whatever the term is for like what a Swiftie is to Taylor Swift, I am to The Lion King, okay? Lion King is my favorite movie. Did you know that?
No.
Oh, yes.
Like the cartoon.
Currently, the 1994 Disney release, The Lion King, my number one favorite movie to this day. It's like The Lion King, Titanic, maybe Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet factor somewhere in there, but it's The Lion King at the top. Because at like 11 or 12 years old when it came out, I was a full-on Lion King stan, hive, whatever, cave, I don't know what you would call it. I think I've seen the movie 50 times. I still cry every time I see it. As a child, I had an oversized denim shirt with the characters embroidered on the back. I wore it everywhere like a middle-aged Disney adult. You were bumping the Sabrina the Teenage Witch soundtrack. I was bumping the Circle of Life, okay? Literally like studying the languages of Africa so that I could sing every lyric to that soundtrack. I decorated my bedroom like the jungle for The Lion King so I could essentially live in the movie. I'm not sure if you're picking up on this, Jason. I was a huge loser, okay? Even when I was pregnant with Rio and Dre, I really pushed for Rio and Simba.
What?
Yes.
Really?
oh, top on my name list. Oh, Evan was like, didn't even consider it. He was like, do not, we're not talking about Simba again, please.
Right.
It's a hard no from Evan. But when the remake came out in 2019, Evan knows me well enough because he surprised me by getting a babysitter and taking me to the movie on opening night. We never go out. He never surprises me with any kind of grand romantic gestures. I don't think we've gone out since that day. That was our only date in the past 5 years. That's how much this movie means to me. And yet, drum roll. Plot twist. I hated the 2019 remake, even with Beyoncé, and I fear I'm going to hate the Mufasa prequel, even with Blue Ivy Carter. Because, Jason, it's that dumb photorealistic animation. And I know this is not in our, like, script or our plan, but can I go off for a hot minute and give my elder millennial take?
Yes, yes.
Elder millennial take.
I understand that we have the technology now to create a lifelike lion cub realistically prancing through the savannah. That doesn't mean we should use it. Because when you make an animated movie look real, it robs it of all the joy and humor and life in the animated characters that the original possessed. Like, I don't need a lifelike meerkat singing Hakuna Matata, okay? I don't need a realistic-looking warthog farting. Like, that's not funny. It's actually kind of gross. Did you see the remake, Jason?
No, the one from a couple years ago? No, I never watched it.
Good. Don't. It's like, listen, give me an anthropomorphized meerkat wearing a hula skirt and coconut bra voiced by Nathan Lane all day. This brings me to my second, perhaps hotter elder millennial take. Stop miscasting celebrities in animated movies. Give me Ernie Sabella as Pumbaa. Give me Jodie Benson as Ariel. Give me Pat Carroll as Ursula, okay? When I ask Alexa to play Bonjour from Beauty and the Beast, don't you dare play the Emma Watson version. Don't even think about giving me Melissa McCarthy's Poor Unfortunate Souls. And if my Alexa is playing Disney hits and Will Smith starts rapping as the genie in Aladdin, I will emotionally abuse that robot speaker so fast. Of course, there are a few celebrities who I think absolutely nailed it. You can't argue that Robin Williams in Aladdin is one of the greatest voice performances of all time. I think Josh Gad in Frozen is great. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor Thomas in The Lion King, iconic. But most famous people are not as good as professional singers or voice actors in professional singer or voice actor roles. Okay? Also, I'll just say this. The reason Disney is panicking and putting out a sequel to Moana and a prequel to The Lion King is that their stock is tanking because so many of their original movies have flopped in the past 2 years. Do you want to know why, Jason?
Why?
Because we have Chris Pine inexplicably cast as the villain in Wish. That's why that movie tanked. He might look great in short shorts, okay? Put him in a 5-inch inseam all day. Do not put him in an animated movie. I say bring back 90s Disney with borderline offensive jokes, parents dying, misogynist plot lines, 2D animation, and professional vocal talent. And that is my elder millennial take.
Elder millennial take.
Sorry, could you tell that I have been raging about this for many years?
Yeah, I'm glad you got it off your chest.
Thank you so much. There is a song on the Wish soundtrack sung by Chris Pine that my children want to hear daily. And I find him to be so horrifically miscast in this role. I have to leave the room when they listen to the song. Sorry.
I don't think I know Wish. I'm trying to picture it.
Actually, Bob Iger, Disney CEO, just shuddered. They're like big release of the year and you don't even know it.
Okay, I literally just looked it up and I don't know it.
Yeah. Well, it was our girl, Ariana DeBose. Angela Bassett did the thing. Did I just bring that back after a year? Yes. On the shelf? I think I did. Yeah, our girl, Ariana DeBose, is the lead. She's actually great. She has a great voice. I like her in the lead. But, like, the movie is all over the place. This Chris Pine character is just, like, evil for the sake of being evil. But he doesn't have the gay undertones that most Disney villains do. Like, I need the lesbian energy of Ursula. I need the, like, homoerotic energy of Scar to carry me through a Disney villain performance. You know what I mean?
Chris Pine was great in Enchanted. That was him, right?
I think so. Early Chris Pine. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he...
So that's, yeah, that's his lane.
That's his lane. He can't play evil and he can't really sing. There are so many celebrities who are cast in these singing roles, and I just shudder to think about all the amazing singers who could have done it so much better. There was a Tiffany Haddish song on the Lego soundtrack, which also plays on repeat in my house, that is so poorly sung. It's hard for me to listen.
Do you like Will Arnett in Lego?
I love Will Arnett in Lego.
Yeah, he's
but
a good one.
I think I secretly am like into Will Arnett.
Yeah, I get that.
Sorry, I mean, fuck you, Smartless. Oh. Fuck you, Jason Bateman.
Fuck you, Jason Bateman.
Brought that back after a year, too. We're on a roll. Back to Mufasa, the Lion King. My final question, Jason, is when Beyonce signed on to reprise her role as Nala, do you think she said, Disney, Blue Ivy is coming with me? Or did Disney ask for Blue Ivy? Which came first, the chicken or the Nepo baby?
I would imagine that if I had to guess right now, I would think maybe Disney asked them.
Oh.
I think.
They saw her hitting the choreo on the Renaissance stage and they said, let's get her in this
maybe.
Thing.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
It is wild. Like the final end sequence of the trailer ends with and introducing Blue Ivy Carter and Beyonce Knowles Carter. It's like a mom and daughter package deal. And here we are. Beyonce is an official stage mom. And I'm excited to hear Blue Ivy talk, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we've ever heard her talk.
Right. Well, we're going to hear her talk now, Jason, as a talking, realistic-looking hairy lion cub. In conclusion, I am not happy about Mustafa the Lion King, but I will be seeing it on opening night. Jason in sandals, Jason in sandals.
Did you ever go see the Lion King, like, stage?
Yes, of course. Many times.
Did you like that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I am absolutely a maniac for the Lion King. You know those, like, crazy Michael Jackson fans of the 90s?
Yeah.
That's me for the Lion King.
Okay. Good to know.
One time I went to like an HMV or like one of those record shops when the Lion King album was popping and they had all these posters and this like, you know, fake plant decor. I went every single day to check to see if they were going to take down the display. And on the final day, they gave everything from the display to me. And that is why I decorated my room. I had the posters. I had the plants. I like took it out of the store window of the local HMV to decorate my room. I'm a psychotic.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Crafty, too.
Listen, and 30 years later, I stopped Cindy Crawford in an airport. Like, I am just revealing myself to be a full, creepy, weird fan. But here we are. That's what you come to this podcast for, phonies. The real shit, you know? Okay, if you've ever fantasized about your significant other reeking of juicy meat and deep-fried chicken thigh, you're in luck. A new fried chicken fragrance just dropped, and this news has been giving me meat sweats and also night sweats.
Girl, what's giving me the night sweats? What's giving me night sweats?
KFC, okay, KFC as in Kentucky Fried Chicken, just released a signature fragrance in the UK called Number 11 Eau de BBQ. Sorry, and just for the people in the back, it is a perfume that smells like barbecue chicken that you spray on your body, then presumably go out wearing in public. It's not a joke. This is an actual fragrance on sale for men and women, and apparently it smells so good, it sold out instantly. People are calling it elevated, luxurious. With just a spritz, KFC says you'll notice a hint of, quote, smoky wood and a dash of charcoal. They also say, and I quote, this one-of-a-kind fragrance is guaranteed to leave you practically tipsy with hunger. Wait, is this just their ploy to get you to buy more chicken, ultimately? Or is this a clever way of attracting someone of the opposite sex? I'm going to go out and assume a straight man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
maybe if you're looking to attract a specific type of person, you do want to smell finger licking good.
Oh, no.
Imagine somebody complimenting you and your perfume and you're like, thanks, it's KFC.
Right. Yeah.
Chic. So a few more details. The 100 milliliter bottle is only 11 pounds, which is like 20 something dollars. And 100% of proceeds go to the KFC Foundation, which supports grassroots organizations. Now suddenly I want it. Smelling like chicken goes to a great cause. Jay, can I tell you about my fragrance journey?
Yeah.
Because I am very much still on it.
Okay.
So the first fragrance I ever wore as a teen, this is like I was probably still wearing the oversized denim Lion King shirt when I would go to The Gap and purchase Grass. Do you remember that line of fragrances? Heaven, Dream, and Grass?
No. I'm not familiar with Gap fragrances.
Oh, the Gap fragrances were the hottest shit in Westside Vancouver. That was my scent. I chose to smell like grass and wondered why the boys never talked to me between that and my Lion King obsession.
I mean, in Vancouver, that could mean many things.
That's true. Oh my gosh, you're right. No, not when I was an innocent young girl. It was just the kind of grass that comes out of your lawnmower, you know?
Is that what it smelled like? Actual grass?
Actual grass, like lawnmower cut grass.
I feel like that could smell good.
Well, I sure thought so in 1997. And then I evolved. I walked across the mall one day and discovered Satsuma from The Body Shop, which I proceeded to wear as my signature fragrance until last year. Are you familiar with Satsuma, Jason?
I love Satsuma. Very familiar.
You do?
Yeah. I love the smell of it. I've never had it, but for myself, but love it.
Did you secretly want to?
I always secretly wanted it, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to be jealous of like the girls who would wear it because I felt like it was like, the guys couldn't pull off Satsuma.
No.
But it just smelled so good.
Huh. Well, just like guys can't pull off sandals, you know?
Exactly.
So I was wearing it, I think it was a year ago at like Thanksgiving, and my 25-year-old sister-in-law said, Jesse, are you wearing Satsuma? And I was like, yeah. And she literally said, are you a tween from the 90s? I was like, actually, I think inside I am. That is the moment I realized I needed to evolve. But I felt so overwhelmed by choice when I would shop at the duty free, which is where I, you know, spend a lot of time traveling. So I would look at the duty free and I'd be like, I don't know. Do I want to smell like J-Lo or Adam Driver with a horse? Like, it took me at least 10 stops to settle on a fragrance. And also, is it just me or is the fragrance industry the biggest scam that somehow we as a culture just accept? Like, why does scented water cost $300 because Charlize Theron is emerging from a waterfall next to it?
I agree. I spend like $300 or more on cologne and it's ridiculous. And I like can't go back in time now, obviously, because I'm hooked. But
what do you wear?
There's a Le Labo one that I really like. That's chic. Stupid expensive, but... It just feels like my signature scent now. I can't part ways with it.
You can't. You can't. You know what? You'll go bankrupt before you get rid of your Le Labo.
You're right, though. It's like how... I don't understand why it's just acceptable that we spend so much money on fragrances and cologne. Like, I found that So this one time, I was at the gym, and this guy next to me just smelled so good that, like, so good that I actually had to ask him what he was wearing. So I asked him and he was like, oh, it's like Creed something. And I'm like, okay, I hadn't heard of it, but I immediately went to the department stores, like Macy's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I found it. And you know how like at department stores, they never put prices on perfumes or colognes.
Right.
So you have to ask the sales associate. So this lady came over and I'm like, hey, how much is this? And like super casually, she's just like, oh, the small one is like $600. And you have to like, you know, have you been in that situation where you have to like, totally have a poker
pretend
face.
Like you can afford it?
Not react like it's outrageous and just smile and nod. Yes. And then like, you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to think about it. I'll be right back.
Yeah, totally. You literally have to just be like, oh, okay. Yeah. 600. That's totally reasonable. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's a performance. I feel like I find myself in these situations weekly. Yes. So you put back the $600 small bottle of cologne.
Oh yeah.
And now you know that guy at the gym is rich.
Right.
And that's the craziest thing of spending that kind of money on perfume because nobody knows how much money you spent. Like if you want to spend something that's like Gucci or Chanel, like wouldn't you want the label so people know? I guess this is quiet luxury, a la Gwyneth Paltrow. God, I'm so tacky. My price gouging story is I finally found my fragrance, Azzaro Girl, which is definitely marketed towards teenagers. But it works for me, Jason, and my youthful energy and spirit. In the duty free, it was $250. And I said, that is ridiculous. I don't spend that kind of money on myself. I exclusively spend that on things for my children. So I decided I would look online for a better price. Found the perfume at walmart.com, same exact bottle, $30. I buy it, order it, brag to Evan. Oh, I found this thing for so much cheaper. I love a bargain. And Evan says to me like, something is up with that. That doesn't feel right. And I was like, you know what is right, Evan? Shopping for bargains. The perfume arrives. Jason, it is not the, you know, regular size perfume bottle. It is literally a sample the size of a thimble. About two sprays in that bottle for $30 from Walmart.
Oh my God.
It's the tester. So I ended up spending the $250 the next time I went to the duty free. And Evan was correct. But I smell great and elevated. I've gone from like child to teen in my fragrance journey, and I'm really happy to be here. The KFC debacle, which by the way is how we started this conversation, made me think about what other foods or establishments I would like to smell like. I hate myself, but I would buy a Starbucks fragrance.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because I smelled so many coffee beans at the duty-free between sampling fragrances. At one point, I was like, can I just have a perfume that smells like this? Like this? Like, I would feel good in a Starbucks scent. How about you?
Yeah, that's a good one. Like a Starbucks coffee. I was thinking about this and like anything mall food court would do it for me. Like a...
Yes!
Like Subway sandwich bread. Doesn't Ooh. It just lure you in?
Oh, I'm a Subway girl through and through. If I smelled somebody who smelled like Subway sandwiches, I would be all yours.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Okay. I also asked the phonies to slide into my DMs on Instagram to tell me what they would like to smell like. And I'm going to read their responses live right now in a segment called Slide Into My DMs.
Slide Into My DMs.
Okay, opening it up. Ooh, Jason, the mall food court is heavy here in the DMs. We have Cinnabon. Several
good,
Cinnabons.
Oh, good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
This next one says margarita. I don't think you want to smell like a margarita, especially not in the workplace, okay? People are going to be like, why does Tracy smell like tequila? It's 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. The next one says homemade bread. Ooh, that's good. Remember when bread makers were hot?
Wait, what?
The bread maker?
The bread maker?
Yeah, bread maker was like a hot kitchen item of the 90s, 2000s. My dad got one and like he was really into baking bread. I would buy a bread maker bread fragrance. Oh, so good. Baked potatoes. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Finally, this person says they would like to smell like Canadian Tire. I mean, do you know that smell?
I know that smell well, yeah. That's a good one.
Canadian Tire, by the way, for our international phonies, we have a global audience. I don't know if you know this. We have one listener in Spain and a lot of listeners in Fort McMurray, which I think technically is global. It is like it's like a store that has everything, right? They have like tires and like toys and household goods. Canadian Tire is like a hardware store meets a department store.
I think they have food now too.
No.
Yeah. They have like
a line
of food.
I don't know if I'm eating food. No. Okay. Well, she said it smells like, I think it's that smell of like rubber tires and tennis balls. You know what I mean?
It's exactly that. Tires and tennis balls.
That's
yeah.
Tires and tennis balls. Oh, thanks, phonies. Love these. So I guess my takeaway from all of this is that we really don't need the luxury $600 perfumes to stand out. You know, you can be just as desirable wearing a scented meat water or Eau de Canadian Tire. What's next?
What's next?
I think it's safe to say that every single person on the planet knows the Baby Shark song, right? Jason, my producer, you are a childless gay man who spends very little time around children, and you could sing every word if I asked you to, correct?
Yeah, I think so. I know it.
For sure. Like well, it TikTok. Goes... Go ahead, please.
No,
oh
no,
my
no.
God, please. The floor is yours. No, please. Oh, I didn't know you wanted to perform a solo, please.
I 100% wasn't, but I was like, I was trying to remember the order. Does it go mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I actually know it.
Yeah, that was a spoken word version of it, and I'll take it. Yeah, you totally know it. So TikTok tracked down the one very old, maybe very lucky person who has never heard the Baby Shark song. This is what's hot on TikTok.
What's hot on TikTok?
A great grandfather went viral on TikTok when his family posted a video of him reading a Baby Shark book to a baby, or at least attempting to. He had no idea how the song goes, what the melody is, so he just kind of makes up his own rendition on the spot, and I am obsessed with it. So before I play you that video, for the sake of this demonstration, I'll just, here's a refresher of the original Baby Shark. Don't hate me and start listening to Smartless.
Daddy Shark, Daddy Shark, Daddy Shark, Daddy Shark.
Now here's TikTok Grandpa delivering his version.
Daddy Shark.
Dada.
Do 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 do. Daddy Shark. Do 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 do. Daddy Shark. Do 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 do. Dumb shark, they all sign to say the same thing.
Dumb sharks, they all say the same thing. I mean, he's right. They are dumb sharks who just say the same thing over and over again. And somehow, it has brainwashed the human species. This singular grandpa somehow managing to escape the baby shark phenomenon is so remarkable because the song is inescapable. Oh, quick Google search. I would just like to bestow upon you phonies some fun Baby Shark facts. One, Baby Shark is the most viewed video on YouTube ever with 14 billion views. Sorry, Despacito. Two, no one actually knows who created the song. It's said that it started as a cheer or like a chant sung at summer camps. That's why it's become so ubiquitous, because it's public domain and anyone can sing their version of it without getting sued. Three, earlier versions of the song had lyrics about the shark family eating swimmers and biting off their limbs. Fun. Four, guards in a prison were charged for trying to torture inmates by playing Baby Shark on repeat, which tracks. And finally, Baby Shark is the perfect tempo and rhythm to perform CPR to. The Red Cross says CPR should be done using 100 chest compressions per minute, which is the exact same rhythm as Baby Shark, which has 100 beats per minute. So there you go. The next time I'm trying to resuscitate someone, the first thing I'll be sure to think of will absolutely be Baby Shark. And that's what's hot on TikTok.
What's hot on TikTok?
Finally, a TikTok video I can understand, you know, Jason? An elderly man and baby shark. That one was made for me. After the break, remember the time we made a compilation of Jason being shocked by the things I said on this show? Well, the phonies are coming for me this time, and Jason is getting his compilation revenge. Next.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We are back. And when I'm not listening to Taylor Swift or Baby Shark or the original soundtrack of The Lion King, Alexa, no, you dumb bitch. I said original soundtrack.
Is that how you talk to her?
Absolutely. I'm listening to your sultry voices on my answering machine. It's time to check my voicemail.
Check, check, check your voicemail.
Hi, Jesse. This is Brittany from Ontario, Canada. I love your podcast. I could listen to you and Jason talk all day. You guys are so funny. One of my favorite things has to be your laugh. Your laugh is hilarious, and it always has me laughing out loud as well. I think that your technical producer should make a compilation like he did of Jason's Oh My God, but with all of your best laughs. Anyways, thank you so much for everything. You're the best. Bye.
Okay, wait a second, Brittany from Ontario. Thank you so much for your message. But now I'm self-conscious. How do I laugh? Do I have a weird laugh?
I don't think you have a weird laugh. You have a signature laugh, for sure.
Is it high-pitched? Because my mother has a signature laugh. My mom's laugh is like, As a kid, I was always like, I will never have that laugh. I will have my room decorated as the Lion King, but I will not laugh like that. Is that how I laugh?
Your laugh is not that. It's like, how can I describe it for you? It's like very genuine.
Okay.
And it's just like very, it's like full of joy. Like you can tell that you're genuinely like happy and loving the moment you're in. That's making you
Jason,
laugh.
Jason, yeah. That's because when I laugh like that, it's with you. And you make me laugh harder than most people. So I will credit Jason, my producer, because when he drops some shit on this show, sometimes I truly can't breathe. I just can't. Okay, before we ask Rob, our technical producer, to create a compilation of my laugh for you, Brittany, can we please revisit the Jason Oh My God montage just for me? Can we do that?
I think we heard it once and it's good, so.
No, I think we have to hear it again. Actually, I think we have to hear it again. Yeah.
Oh my God, Jesse.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Oh, God, it hits every time. Okay, Rob, you've had enough time to create a Jesse laughing montage. Please roll it. Wow. Wow. When you give Rob, our technical producer, artistic license to make something, he straight up hits it out of the park. A Backstreet Boys deep cut-ish, larger than life with my laugh? I mean, please. That was incredible. Also, my laugh is so embarrassing, but like actually sounds cool to me, set to the tune of the Backstreet Boys. I do feel like I'm going to be self-conscious about it now. Wow. But you're right. It all comes from a place of pure joy. Pure joy, Jason.
See?
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Well, that made me laugh. Thank you, Brittany. Thank you for that message. As always, please call me. Leave me a voicemail about anything. My number is in the description of this episode. And we end every episode with a song. Jason, I have a few options for you. Are you ready?
Okay.
I'm going to present them to you. First, we could go with a Taylor Swift song since we did issue an apology earlier and we are both much more into the album. We could also go with the Baby Shark Sex Jam version, which is a personal fave. It's like an R&B sex jam cover of Baby Shark. We could also go with the hot song of the moment, which is Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso. Thoughts?
I love Espresso. 100%.
I knew you would!
No
so good.
I knew you would. Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso is like the hot pop song of the moment, and it was literally made for Jason, okay? It's like a hot, cute, former Disney star, blonde, whose name is Sabrina, so that checks a box for you. And it's the summer. It's the song of the summer. You know what I mean?
And it really is the song of the summer. I am going to have to look up on my own the Baby Shark sex jam version, though, because I've never heard
that. Yeah, do that on your own time. Do that on your own time. What you need to do is to slip into your 5-inch inseam, put on your sandals that I'm going to order for you and send to your home via Amazon so you have no choice, and then play the Baby Shark sex jam, because that is worth your time. But right now, we're going to roll Sabrina Carpenter's Espresso. And Rob, make sure you hit us with the greatest line of the song, which, Jason, I'm sure you know what it is.
I Mountain Dew it for you?
No, does she say I Mountain Dew it for you?
Yeah, that's my...
Oh, I did not know that. No, the line that everybody is loving that I too love is...
Oh, yeah, good one.
It's great. Yeah. It's great. Okay, I stay up late because I'm a fashion designer. My Joe Fresh capsule collection is out now in stores or shop it at joefresh.com. And please, phonies, tag me in everything you get on your kids, on yourselves, on your spouses. I will reshare all of it and definitely get emotional seeing you and your families wearing it. And now, with Espresso really giving me some pep in my step, guess where I'm going, Jason? Do you remember? Do you remember? Do you remember?
No.
Jason, I am going to Las Vegas for the Lovers and Friends Festival.
Oh, you are? Wait, this weekend?
Yes, now. Literally getting on a plane tomorrow, flying to Las Vegas. My 5 best high school girlfriends are coming out. The Backstreet Boys will be there. I have my Backstreet Boys underpants ready to, you know, wear them to the show and then ideally take them off backstage. And I will be telling you everything about it next week, plus the Met Gala. It is an embarrassment of riches on next week's episode. So, Jason, should we talk next Thursday?
I'll see you next Thursday.
Take us out, Sabrina. Bye.
Friend was created by our mommy Jessie Cruxick. The executive producers are Jessie Cruxick and Jason Yanda. The technical producer is Rob Perra. The amazing theme song and sexy interludes are by Jay Malinowski from Bedouin Sound Clash. Phone a Friend is part of the Acast Creator Network. Credits are by us, Ray Gatica and Rio Gatica. We're her kids. That's crazy, right? Wow, you're still listening? Okay, see you next week.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.